We've been in a sermon series for quite a few weeks now, focusing on Ephesians and our identity in Christ. And as intended the whole time, once we got to where we stopped at, we were going to look at another series. So we're going to look at it. We're going to start just a basic couple-week series that would lead us into Easter. And this morning, we begin what we call Our Great God. For years, if you ask someone, "How are you today?" The most common response was, "I'm good," right? How are you? I'm doing good, right? A new survey has said that recently the most common response to that question is no longer good, but is, "I'm busy." How are you today? Man, I'm busy. But the last few weeks have really changed that answer for many in our world today, right? Many lives around us, many listening in today are filled with fear and anxiety and worry and doubt. They're just looking for hope. They're asking questions like, "Where will my next paycheck come from?" Or, "How will I ever retire?" Right? They're worried with their loved ones that are out of town or maybe even deployed. How will they get home? And they're wondering, are we safe? Are we getting all the information? How can we stay healthy during this time? And how long will this time last? It can seem like our peaks are less and our valleys are more. But church, I just want to remind us this morning that we serve a great God. We serve a loving God. And here's the great thing about our God. He is not distant. He's not this distant man upstairs that some call him. That's just not an accurate view of who God is. He hasn't checked out on us. He is just as present as he always has been. He is sovereign. He is caring. He is all-knowing. He is a loving God. Church, in our good times, he's there. In our busyness, he's there. In our hurt, in our anxiety, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our peaks and in our valleys, even today we can know that God is good and he's present. This morning, I'd like for you to join me and open up your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalm is basically right in the middle of your Bible if you were to open that up. And we're going to be in Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23 is one of the most memorized and quoted passages in the Bible. It's a passage that brings hope for many people, that brings peace and comfort during difficult times. People like to read it and study it and pray over it during times that are difficult and scary and uncomfortable and unknown. But what is it about Psalm 23 that has brought so many people comfort? What is it about this text that has so many of us, right? It gives so many of us the encouragement that we need. If you're walking through a difficult time, if you're concerned or worried, or maybe you're feeling okay and not bothered about this whole thing that's going on around us, but I just want you to hear these words as we read through this passage together. And you can remain seated where you're at. You can stand with me to honor God and his word as we read. But we're going to look at Psalm 23 together and just follow along or read out loud. You're at home, follow along. And as I read this, the Bible says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows." And verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray, church. God, we love you, and we thank you, God, that we can come together even in this unique way, and you are present in every single location. So, God, I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage this morning, that we'd be attentive to what you have to say and know that we can trust in you as our shepherd. So, God, guide our time, lead us, speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you're glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we don't know the exact circumstances that this psalm was written in, right? We don't know exactly what's going around in David's mind or what's going on in his life, but David writes this passage. And as many of you know, David has spent many years as a shepherd tending to the flock, right, to his sheep, protecting them and tending to them and leading them. And during this passage, he's going to use some of that imagery of a shepherd to show and describe his personal relationship with God. And the idea behind God's role as a shepherd is that he has a loving care and concern. David found comfort and security knowing that God cared for him, like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Charles Spurgeon once said this, a preacher from years ago, he said this, he said, "A sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. Its owner sets great store by it, and frequently it is bought with a great price." He says, it is well to know, as certainly as David did, that we belong to the Lord. There is a noble tone of confidence about this sentence. There is no if, nor but, nor even I hope so. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we get to see God as our shepherd. We get to see God in a very personal way. This morning, I want us to see that our God is our shepherd. And I want us to look at a few truths about our shepherd from the Word of God this morning. So whether you are in a valley right now, or maybe you just need to be reminded of God and His great love for you, here's truth number one. Your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. Your shepherd's care for you is incredibly personal. Many times as we walk through Scripture, we see the community, we see the body, we see the church, right? That He is our God, that He is our Lord, and that's so true. It's amazing to me that we serve the same God that Abraham served, and that Moses served, and that Peter and Paul served. It's the same God that led the people of Israel out of captivity and led the early church in the book of Acts. So He is our God. He is our Lord. But as followers of Jesus, He is also your God and my God. You know why? Because He is a personal God. Look at the words used here throughout this psalm. If you just look throughout this psalm, you're going to see these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Even when I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. He says things like, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me. You anoint my head. My cup overflows. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We walk through that because I want us to understand that this is personal. He is our God collectively, and He is your God and my God. Just let that sit for you with you for a second. While God is our shepherd corporately and collectively, He is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He knows you. He cares for you. And He loves you. The Lord is well aware of every single detail in your life. He's well aware of what's going on in our world today. When life is good and going well, God is with you. When we are in a valley feeling lonely and hurting, right? We feel like we're by ourselves, or maybe we are by ourselves right now. When no one else is able to understand, we have a God. We have the Creator of all things that is with you and with me. Your shepherd is always with you, personally caring for you. You are never alone. And Paul describes a time in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when everybody else had deserted this man named Paul, the Lord stood by him and He strengthened him. Here's the reality. The Lord will never desert you. The Lord will never desert you. There have been many times in my life where I needed to be reminded that my God, my Lord, my shepherd was with me. I need to be reminded that He cared about me personally. And you too, we've all had those moments, haven't we? Right? Even when people that love you and want to help you, sometimes they just can't, right? They don't know how to help you. But God is there and He knows you. He knows you personally. He knows you inside and out. He is with you And He is a personal God. So that first truth is this: your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. For us, I think about Emmanuel, and a name for Jesus meaning God with us. Jesus bought us with a great price. He came to be with us. And He proved on the cross that He cares for you. And that leads us to the second truth, and that is this: your shepherd will always provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is saying all of my needs are supplied by God. They're supplied by my shepherd. When he says I shall not want, that means he will not lack. David will not lack. He will always have what he needs. When you and I are experiencing pain from lacking something, the Lord, your shepherd, is providing you peace. When you're feeling hurt and pain, he's there to provide the healing. When we have weakness, he's there providing his strength. I love the children's song. I sing it with my kids all the time. Jesus loves me, right? We sing that with the boys. We sing that with the girls. They know all the words, right? They throw their name in there. And you come to that part in the song where it says, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He provides the strength when we are weak. And when we're alone and when we're abandoned, he's there. He provides for us. When we are lost, when we're misled, when we're confused, when we're worried, right? When we're in the midst of what we're going on right now, we don't know what to do. He's the one that provides his wisdom. Through his personal relationship with you, through the Holy Spirit, and through his word, he provides wisdom. Your shepherd, my shepherd, never stops providing. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. These verses show the Lord caring for us, caring for his sheep. Here's the crazy thing about sheep. Sheep are not known for always being the smartest animals, right? That we're not. The sheep are not known for making the best decisions, right? Or knowing what's best for themselves. They're not best for knowing what they need. And so their help comes from their shepherd. That's how that works. It's unusual for sheep. They just need instruction on everything. It's unusual for sheep to lie down if they're scared. Or if they have some sort of fear. Or if there's some sort of unrest in their group. Or even if they were uncomfortable due to flies or parasites, they wouldn't lie down to rest. So guess what? It's the shepherd's responsibility to make sure there was no danger or anything that would bring harm to them. And he would provide them with safety and lead them to a place of rest. That's what he does. And so David writes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The shepherd knows when the sheep need green pastures, right? He knows when his sheep need still or quiet waters. And so David provides for us some great imagery of the comfort and the safety and the care and the rest and the peace that God provides. Just imagine that, the calmness that he brings to us. He refreshes our soul. We could use some of God's peace and calmness in our lives right now, can't we? Just go out driving around or go into a store. Man, you could use God's peace and his calmness in our life. And as God's people, here's the thing, we can know that he provides that calmness and that peace for our lives even today. What else does he provide? Look at verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. The language that David is using here is language that those in those days would have understood. They understood the idea of a shepherd making a sheep lie down. They understood that the shepherd would lead the sheep to still waters, and a shepherd would protect and provide for the sheep. And then to restore, think about this for a second. Sheep are built in such a way that if they fall over on their side and then they end up rolling over to their back, it's very difficult for them to get back up again. And they begin to kick their legs in the air. And they cry out, and after being on their backs for too long, what do their bodies do? Gas begins to build up in their stomachs, their stomach hardens, the airways get cut off, and the sheep would eventually die. Very common for sheep to die by suffocation, by starvation or even by a predator if they get themselves in that position. So being down in a position like that for the sheep is called a cast down position. And so a shepherd would be watching out for his sheep. And when he saw this, when he saw them cast down, he would help them. And that was known as restoring a cast down sheep. To restore his sheep, he would calm them. That's what the shepherd does. He would come and calm them. And he would turn that sheep over and help them back on their feet. He might have to stand there and hold them for a little bit as the circulation gets going again, until the animal can collect itself. So David says that God restores his soul. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a bad place, maybe to not on our own, or maybe it comes from something else, but we can find ourselves in a bad place. Maybe we're stuck in some guilt, or maybe there's grief, or maybe there's sin. Whatever it is, we find ourselves on our backs kicking and screaming and crying out, and we're needing to be restored. And so David, the Word of God here, is painting a picture of what God can do for us. He restores my soul. He restores your soul, church. He provides us with grace when we get ourselves into a mess. And God's grace is good, amen, right? He sees us. We cry out to him like a sheep on their back would, and God restores us. He comes to us and he restores us. He alone, church, is capable of restoring us. Your shepherd, God, loves to take what is broken or turned upside down in your life and restoring that. He loves to restore you and me. So David writes, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. And God, here's what happens here, church. God enables me and you to walk in righteousness, to walk in what is right in the eyes of God. Right? We spend a lot of our time trying to do things on our own, don't we? We try to do that a lot. We can find ourselves down the wrong path because we take our own path and try to do things on our own. And just as a sheep had no clue how to get where they needed to go, we need the Lord to lead us and guide us in his ways. To be righteous is to do what is right in the eyes of God. And so the Lord leads us in that. He leads us to be followers of Christ. To walk in the way that we're called to walk. To walk in what is right. So he provides that leadership for us. And then see this. He does all of this, the Bible says, for his name's sake. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Your shepherd and my shepherd refreshes us. He protects us. He calms us. He provides for us. He restores us and guides us in righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? He does all of these things because of who he is. That's why he does them. His glory, his character, his reputation all point to God being our shepherd. He shepherds us because that's who he is. God is our shepherd. That's what he does because that is who he is. And notice one last thing before we move on. The Bible says that he makes me. He leads me. He restores me and he guides me. Under truth number two is this. Your shepherd provides because of his grace, not your ability. Let me say that again. Your shepherd provides for you and for me because of his grace, not your ability. Your shepherd will always provide, not because you and I deserve it. A shepherd doesn't always provide because those sheep deserve it. He provides because we cannot. Right? That's why he provides, because we cannot. It is his love for us because of his goodness, because of his personal care for you and me, because of who he is. He provides. And so, church, I think we just praise God, even in our moment right now. We praise God for his grace, providing for us what we don't even deserve, right? We praise God for his grace and his provision. Let's look at verse number four. The Bible says this, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Right? We need to hear that today, right? I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice he doesn't say when I'm walking on the mountaintop. He's writing of a valley. He suggests being down, being surrounded, being in an uncomfortable place, uncertain time. The valley of the shadow of death also carries the meaning of walking through the valley of deep darkness. When it seems that we will face our ultimate defeat, right? When we are facing evil, when we are fearful, even for our own lives, David writes, he says, listen, church, he says, I fear no evil when I'm in that valley. I fear no evil when I'm surrounded. I fear no evil when I'm being threatened. Why? David gives this truth, and we need to claim this as well, because you, God, are with me. I fear no evil because you are with me. Notice what David does here. He's been talking about God a lot. We've been doing that. This is who God is. We're talking about God. And then we're going to see that he starts talking to God. He says, you are with me. He doesn't say God is with me. He says, you are with me. And that makes a ton of sense to me. I've been there when there's a valley or a difficult time. And I've cried out to God personally. And David says to God, God, I have nothing to fear because you are with me. Church, let's do that today. God, we have nothing to fear because you are with us. And that leads us to our next truth. Your shepherd leads you nothing to fear. I think some of us need to hear that today. I've been receiving messages and just people reaching out and just saying, man, I'm scared. It's uncertain times. And I get it. But here's the reality. Your shepherd leaves you nothing to fear. Knowing that the Lord God, your shepherd, is with you personally. God is walking with you. He's leading you. He's talking with you. And we get to take great comfort that God is with us in these dark moments. Because Jesus himself, here's the great reality. We know we can trust God during these times because Jesus himself, he defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. He defeated darkness. And he defeated all of his enemies. And he did that when he bled and died on the cross for you and me. And it's just as the Bible tells us, he rose again. Church, he leaves us with nothing to fear, not even death itself. We have the hope. And we know that death is not the end for those that know the Lord. Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, the Bible says, right? And we're going to spend eternity with Christ and the Father forever. By the way, if you're listening to this today and you've not called on the name of the Lord, you've not called on Jesus to save you, man, today is a great day to do that. But here's the reality. God is bigger than any threatening circumstance in your life. God is bigger than any opponent in your life. And church, God is bigger than any disease in your life. And he's bigger than death. And so we can walk through moments in life knowing that your shepherd and my shepherd and our shepherd is with us. Church, God is with you. God is with you. I fear no evil, David says, and we can say, for you are with me. And then he even says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were instruments used by a shepherd. And the idea of those is they would use them as a sturdy walking stick, and they would actually use them to gently guide the sheep and to protect them from potential predators. Sometimes maybe the shepherd had to knock the sheep a little bit harder, right? Maybe God has to do that with us sometimes, just being silly there. But that's God providing us with direction and protection. God's with you. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, the Lord is with you. If you've not given your life to Christ, this is the relationship. This is what God wants. The love and the provision God has for you. This is the relationship that God wants for you. And so again, if you don't know Jesus, let's talk about that. Because he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, and we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. And Jesus allows us to have that relationship with God, and then the Lord becomes our shepherd. So walking through these truths, your shepherd's care is incredibly personal. God is not this distant guy in the sky that has better things to do than pay attention to you. Here's the reality. Even with all of the things that's going across this globe right now, he knows everything there is to know about you. Your shepherd will always provide for you. Even in our inability, his grace continues to provide. And your shepherd leaves you nothing to fear. He's always with you. And then we look at verse 5. David writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." David is painting a picture here of the shepherd with his sheep. He is the provider and the protector. One commentator wrote and described God as a host who has not only the bounty to feed me, but power to protect me. And though surrounded by enemies, I sit down to this table with confidence, knowing that I shall feast in perfect security. He provides and he protects. Bible says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." Church, this is a great picture of the Lord providing sustenance for us, right? You prepare a table. God, you sustain me. You have anointed my head. You have blessed me. You fill me with joy and my cup overflows. Your God, your shepherd, my God, my shepherd, not only sustains us and provides all we need, he also blesses us and he satisfies us. And guess what? That blessing, that satisfaction, he does that in abundance. Despite the danger and despite the valleys and the enemies or the sickness, David can enjoy the richness of God's goodness. He was sustained, he was blessed, and God provides all of this so that it overflows. God's love, his provision, his goodness is in abundance. That's good news. There's a lot of things not in abundance right now, right? But God's goodness, his provision, and his love are in abundance. And the next truth is this: your shepherd is pursuing you with everlasting love. David says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me." That word "follow" there talks, it really gives that meaning of being pursued, right? To follow after you with an aim to secure. I would suggest this is a lot like a loving parent with a child, right there with them to catch them, chasing after them, to provide for them, to keep them safe. David is saying, "God, you are faithful, and I can count on my shepherd's goodness and mercy. He is pursuing you and me with his love." Church, isn't that a great reality? God is pursuing you and me with his great love. All of verse 6 says this: "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His goodness and his loving kindness, right? His mercy, they are eternal. It's not a temporary thing. It is a faithful God that is faithfully pursuing you as a shepherd all the days of your life. And he wraps up by saying this. He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He ends this psalm with the calm assurance that he knows, David knows, that he's going to enjoy the presence of the Lord forever, both right now in his life and then for eternity. And we will as well. If we know Christ as our Savior, we will have that assurance in our life. The last truth is this: your fellowship with your shepherd, with God, will never end. By God's grace, because of who he is, his goodness and his mercy, his love will pursue you all the days of your life. And when your time here is through on earth, we all come to that point, right? It only gets better, guys. It only gets better. And we will dwell with him. We will be in the presence of God forever. I want to close by reading a passage from John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus came to be God with us, and he says this in John chapter 10. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Then in verse 17, Jesus says, "I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again." Jesus is God with us, and he is yours and my good shepherd, and he loves you so much. He loves us so much that he willingly laid down his life for you. and for me, for each person that's listening today. Your shepherd laid down his life for you, and then he rose again on the third day, just as he said. We're going to celebrate Easter here in a few weeks, and it's just an exciting time where we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. But he laid down his life, and he rose again. Guys, this is how it's possible for us to live in the house of the Lord forever because of what Jesus did. This is how our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord never ends. Why? Because Jesus came, right? He came as the good shepherd, and he cares for you, and he pursues you, and he lays down his life for you. He gave his life on the cross for you and me and rose again. Church, he is a personal God. Guys, your shepherd's care for you is incredibly personal. Your shepherd will always provide. He will provide for you because of his love and his grace. Your shepherd leads you nothing to fear. Let me say that again. Your shepherd leaves you nothing to fear. When we walk through the hard times, when we walk through the valleys, when we walk through the anxiety and the depression, the job loss or the loss of a loved one or darkness or even a virus, God is with you. He is pursuing with his everlasting love, and he's made a way for you and your shepherd, for me and my shepherd to have a fellowship, a relationship forever, and to be in the presence of him forever. Whatever it is that you're going through, he's with you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's protecting you. And hear this, he's not going anywhere. If you're not a Christian today, if you would say there's not been a time in your life that you've not given your life to Jesus, let me lay this out here very clearly. You were made to be with God. You were made to walk with God. You were made to be in fellowship and a relationship with God. And he loves you more than you can ever imagine. Jesus proved that. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took what we deserved. He took that to the cross and he rose again. I just want to say to you today, if you're listening in today, whether you're a part of Authentic Life or a guest with us today, Jesus came to save you. And when he saves us, he brings us into that relationship with God. And so, we've prayed for you, that God would draw you near to him. We've prayed that you would give your life to Jesus today. And I just want to lay that out there for you today. Jesus died for you, and he wants a relationship with you. And if you believe in him, if you confess that he's Lord, and believe that he died on the cross and rose again, the Bible says that you'll be saved. And so if that's you today, I challenge you to call upon the name of the Lord, to ask him to save you today. Because he wants to be your shepherd. Church, interesting times. We don't have a reason to fear. Because this doesn't catch God by surprise. And we don't have a reason to fear because he is with you. Let me pray for us today. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you that you are our good shepherd. We thank you that you provide for us and that you are with us and that you care for us and you're with us at all times, God. We thank you that we can call you God, that we can call you Father. God, we pray, Lord, today that if there's someone here today that's listening online that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, we pray, Lord, today that they would right now just call out on Jesus to save them. Just to call out and say, dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he rose again so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, would you save me? God, I pray, Lord, today that someone would pray that you would save them today. And God, for us as the church, this is an opportunity for us to not fear, but to trust in the almighty, powerful, great God. God, as a church, as your people, help us show the world around us that we love you and we trust you. That we love one another and that we love them. Give us ways for us to love our communities and those around us. Make it clear. Give us clarity. And God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. And we pray for those that are working to help with the cure and with this whole virus that's going on. So God, we pray, Lord, for them, for wisdom for them, for their protection as well. And God, we pray, Lord, that in our lives each and every day you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, church, thanks for being with us today. We're so glad that we could worship together. And so make sure you guys pay attention to some of the links that will be on here as well. Obviously, we can't pass an offering plate or anything like that. And so you can mail that in if you have an offering or tithe that you normally do that in. You can mail that in. We'll have the address on there on those links for you. Or you can go to our website, AuthenticLifeAZ.com. You go to the give button and you can do through PayPal or through another way and you can just give that way. But church, we're excited that we get to meet this way. We're excited that we still get to be used by God, and we're going to see Him work in mighty ways, church. So we're excited for these next weeks. Be ready to study with your life groups. And if you have any prayer requests, you have any concerns, you have any questions, please reach out to us. We'd love to connect with you. God's best to you.